How's your bubble?
It's economic anxiety with Rod Oram.
So here we are, back again to our seven-part chat with Rod Oram, which we haven't actually started yet. We've only heard a highly engaging introduction from myself, which is hopefully why you're here now, because you want to hear more. I certainly wanted to hear more about whether there was going to be another financial crisis. This is why this all started. Let's jump back into it. How this came about was that I sort of saw some articles which alluded to the next global financial crisis, essentially, that was going to be a lot worse than the one that we've just had. I guess to have that conversation, can we just start by you explaining how the last global financial crisis came about?
Very broadly speaking, there were two big things at work. The first one was there had been a very considerable push over at least the previous decade, to substantially ease up on regulation of banks and other financial sector organizations. Secondly, there was very good growth in developed countries, but there was astonishing growth in developing economies, particularly China. So we were seeing some real imbalances in the global economy. So China was running a very big trade surplus and the U.S. a trade deficit. Germany was running a very large current account surplus. So in other words, they were not only selling more goods to than they were buying from other people overseas, but they also had a positive balance in their investment flows as well. So you've got these big imbalances developing in the global economy. Actually, there was a third factor which came in to make the most of that. There was a great deal of innovation in the financial sector to make the most of those imbalances, those burgeoning markets, but at the same time making the most of that much lighter regulation. And ultimately, it was that irresponsible innovation that was at the very heart of what caused the global financial crisis. And it was by far the most chaotic, turbulent, I'd have to say quite scary, period that I've ever worked in as a journalist, and that's going back to the mid-1970s.
What exactly was the scary part of it, the possible effect on people, or the sort of the irresponsible behaviour of these people?
Oh, absolutely both. I felt very keenly watching what impact this was having on people's lives, but I was outraged. That's not a particularly useful emotion as a journalist. One tries to be a bit more sort of disciplined and dispassionate about what people were getting up to. And for me, there was a very, there were many completely seminal moments in all this, but one of them was on Monday morning, September the 16th, 2008, that previous evening in New York on the 15th, Lehman Brothers had gone into bankruptcy, which was, and of course we've just celebrated, we just marked the 10th anniversary of that, because that was the point where a whole bunch of stuff then really started to fly apart.
I'll come back to New Zealand, but I think just sticking on the irresponsible behaviour, particularly in America, and the basics of how I understand it is that there's investment happening and that there's interest accumulating essentially on money that doesn't actually physically exist. That's how finance works, right?
Yes, and that's okay. That's a perfectly legitimate system. We don't have to have whatever the requisite number of ounces of gold in a bank vault for every dollar there is in the world. Money or mediums of exchange fall into two categories. One where there is a physical product, like a bar of gold, but the other one, which is this kind of notional money, there is no such thing in a literal sense as a dollar. There is a banknote that represents it. There is a credit on a line of computer code in your bank account that represents it. So it does exist in that ephemeral sense, and that's okay as long as there is trust in that financial system and as long as there is trust in that currency. And it's when things go pretty crazy and that trust begins to break down, that's when you have problems.
So essentially it was a breakdown of trust in a number of areas or in a number of contexts.
Oh, very fundamental. And trust at so many levels. Let me just sort of explore for a moment one of the key financial products, which had been deemed to be a very clever piece of financial engineering and, you know, the latest and most wonderful thing, which caused a lot of problems. So these were subprime mortgages in the United States. These were mortgages that banks and other mortgage lenders were prepared to extend to homeowners, even though they were not very good credit risks. And all sorts of people were sort of enticed into taking on mortgages that they really couldn't support very well. And they were enticed with low interest rates at the beginning, all that kind of stuff. But the innovation that the financial sector came up with that they said made this all right was, rather than just having a straight relationship between a person with a house and a mortgage and a bank that's lending that money, and if the person with the mortgage gets into difficulty with that, the bank can work with them to find a way through that. And because the bank remains very literally invested in that mortgage, then they are not going to go too crazy. But the innovation was you would bundle up all sorts of mortgages, some good ones and some dodgy ones and all the rest, and you would divide them up into little tranches, little slices, and you would bundle that all together in a bond, and you would sell those bonds, and you'd say to people, oh, look, the risk has gone away because you've got a tiny salami slice of lots of different mortgages, so if one particular mortgage goes wrong, it really won't matter very much. Oh, and by the way, we've got insurance on these bonds from AIG. Oh, and by the way, Moody's and S&P, the credit rating agency, say the bonds are fantastic, AAA, no problem at all. That was the problem, though. That was a complete pyramid scheme where responsibility at a very fundamental level from the person who sold the subprime mortgage to the householder, to the people who aggregated those up into bonds and to sold them, to the people who gave credit ratings on them, to the people who gave insurance on them, to the people who bought those bonds. That was a fundamental breakdown in any sense of responsibility very deeply through the financial system.
So what we have is a fundamental breakdown of any sense of responsibility through the financial system, resulting in a breakdown of trust, which means the system can't operate as it needs to with your capital inside it. So what happened after that breakdown? Find out on the next episode.
Crisis? What crisis?
That was Economic Anxiety with Rod Oram.